Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperston Asset Management, securities offered through Brighton Securities out of Rochester, New York. Member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Brownstein, how are you on this beautifully sunny morning?
Yeah, and it's going to be in the 50s next week.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Wow. Ooh, how exciting.
See, that's, it's like climate change, you know, up, down, up, down, you know.
It might be climate change.
The way the cycles work. But anyway, it is Saturday, March 7th, 2020.
The climate is changing.
Yeah, it always does. And it's 10:04 in the morning. And we always say that because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN, 1520 AM out of Buffalo, New York at midnight. Unless there's a sporting event, that'll be on after the sporting event. Also, we are available live streaming every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. If you go to our website, saperston.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com, click on the dollar tab that says live streaming, you're all set up. Also, at the website, if you miss a show or you want to replay a show, all of our shows are archived. So once again, you go to the website. This time, click on the Dollar Doctor tab that says chat and archives. Click on archives and all of the archive shows are there. And then finally, last but not least, every week there's a free economic report by Stone and McCarthy.
Yep, and they talk about, did anything happen last week?
I don't know. What was that? That booming economy that nobody cares about, because that's the rearview mirror, right?
Well, it is, but the jobs and jobs and jobs, and you know, it looks pretty good, but they still haven't had, we haven't been able to look at the coronavirus possible issues with employment and people spending and going out. So we'll see how that goes. But, you know, the Fed reduced rates by 0.5%. I think it's only the 6th or 7th time they've done it since 98.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually, always, most of the time, is that enough disclaimers? It's followed up by another rate cut. So the meeting comes up in March, a couple of weeks, and they may do a quarter and a quarter in April. They may do a half and then a quarter in April. They got about 1% to play with.
So.
It's an interesting article. They talk a little bit. Their big fear is the junk bond market, Pete, with some of the airlines and some of the other lower-rated bonds not having enough business, and maybe the economy, the coronavirus affecting them, hotel stays, restaurant. I mean, you can extrapolate it a long way down the road.
So they had nothing in terms of the employment report?
They
said it was just a very good
the last
report,
third,
right?
Yeah, the last third.
Yeah, there was no seasonal,
but it was huge.
Seasonal adjustment
no.
problem.
Mm-mm.
Interesting.
100,000 more than what they expected, 270,000. And I used to say on the show, you know, during the previous administration, they were saying how great it is, so many jobs created, 180. I said, do you need 250 a month for 3 months in a row to do anything to unemployment? So they've had probably more weeks of more months of over 250 in the 3 years of the Trump administration than 8 years of Obama. But
interesting. Well, yeah. Right now,
what came first?
Phone lines are wide open, probably because we didn't give the phone numbers or whatever. 803.
It's not we, it's you. I don't do the phone numbers.
What do you do?
I
803-1520, toll free 800-879-7541.
I tricked my wife, though, so I'll see what happens when I get. You know what I did?
What?
The clocks that are on the second floor, I move them ahead.
That's a good move.
So I'll see if she'll, because she'll go up, she'll, oh, it's late, I have to get to my mother.
Anyway, that is a good move.
Yeah, something.
Anyway, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. Give us a call, because this is the easiest time to get in to give us a call. If for some reason you don't want to call, we do have a chat box available. And if you go to the website, saperston.com, click on the Dollar Doctor tab that says chat and archives, and it pops up immediately. You just go down to the bottom, and there's a little place to type in your question, type in a symbol. And if you type in a symbol, let us know what you're looking to do with it. Right now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541.
So were you surprised when they reduced?
I think, no, that was expected, you know. And then people were eventually coming to saying that when they reduce, it'll be a 0.5%, you know, 50 basis points.
Yeah,
but
I
think maybe they did surprise the market by not waiting for their meeting, you know.
They gave so many clues before the weekend, and I thought for sure Sunday night, in an effort with the rest of the central banks, they would come out and have a 6 o'clock news conference before all the markets open overseas on Sunday night and come out and do it. They didn't do it on Monday, and then Australia did it. And I said, I was talking to a client on the way in, just saying, well, I guess they're not going to do it for a bit. I don't know. And boom, then they went ahead and did it.
Yeah, so. You never know. I mean, you know, market got excited, then it just sold right off again. You know, and you don't know from day to day with all the volatility that's out there. So right now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. We're going to go first to Richard in Rochester. Good morning.
Hi, Peter. Hey, David. How you doing?
Good morning. Good. How you doing?
Good morning on this beautiful sunny weekend, huh?
Yeah. It's nice. Don't forget to turn your clocks back tonight.
Yep.
Oh, is this the weekend?
Yeah.
You just ruined my day.
Well, that's what I told you. That's why I said I did it.
I thought that's why you did it on the second floor, Dave.
I did. That's what I did.
I missed that point. I thought he was being sexist, you know, and saying women, you have to get them going earlier because it takes them longer to get going.
That's a whole nother subject.
Right?
No, it was just I wanted to see.
You used to learn. You never said the exact time. You know, like we have to go at 6. You'd say, even though it was really 6, you'd say we have to go at 5.
My wife is very punctual.
Is she?
She is. Yeah.
Is she?
Likes
that's
it
unusual.
Early, but you can't get her out of a place once she's there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Takes
it's
after her mother.
It's the other way around.
We used to leave with the kids. I'd be out in the car without air conditioning, perspiring with 3 babies, you know, 8, 7, and 5. And 20 minutes later, she's I'm beeping the horn. I left the one time I left. And then, you know, of course, I drove around the block.
Well, just to make a point. Right?
That was once I did it.
But anyway, I don't think I'd do that again. But anyway, no, Richard, what do you want?
You know, it sounds like the three of us might be husband-in-laws. I don't know. It all sounds similar.
Well,
lucky you.
You can send all the nasty emails to Richard in Rochester there.
There you go.
Thanks.
Okay.
Last week you introduced me to an investment that I got into. I hope it's going to work out. TLT, Thomas Larry Thomas.
Oh, okay. Well, that's obviously if interest rates keep going down, yeah.
Yeah, and the rest of the world has gone to zero interest rates. I hope we're not stupid enough to do that because I don't know if that's the right thing to do.
Well, tell you better look out because that's where we're headed. I'm not saying they're going to go to zero, but sure looks like they're headed there.
Well,
the
interesting thing was that I briefly saw something in Barron's this morning where a guy kind of said, it'll go to zero not because of the Fed. It'll go to zero because
the market. Well, that's because so many people are jumping in, apparently.
Right.
So I'm in a dilemma. So I've got accounts that are pretty much 55-45, 55 market, 45 bonds.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, you know what I should do? And if this was 20, 30, 40 years ago, I probably wouldn't have be thinking as much. I'd already would have done. Those bonds are up. Should sell those and buy equity. That's but
normally,
you know,
that's what you would do. And you might be right. Who knows?
Doesn't work that way.
I know
though.
It doesn't. I agree with
you. Usually when the rates are down, the market's up. So it's like, is this a great opportunity? And I'm like, So I'm listening to some of the advisors, and that's what they're saying to do.
Are they?
Then
that means don't do it.
I guess.
But anyway.
How's that?
All right. So anyway. Back to Richard.
You would be tempted to sell the bonds because they're going to go down?
No, not necessarily, but the opportunity to buy equities at this discounted price.
Yeah, see, normally there would be a rebalancing by managers once the bond portion starts accelerating rapidly.
Right, but it's not like the bonds have gone from 45% to 55%.
Right.
It's not that big
not
of a
bad
move,
at the moment, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I totally agree. Somewhere down the line, it's going to be a good chance to buy equities. I'm just not convinced this is it.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to say. We were talking about this earlier, and you know, people would ask me, aren't people calling the radio show in a panic? I said, no. And I said to David, I said, all the calls we get, people are buying, you know. They think it's a great opportunity. Now, is that a good sign or a bad sign? I don't know. You know.
They're trying to catch the bottom. My experience is you never buy at the bottom. You don't sell at the high. I'd rather get confirmation things are turning around.
Well, then you get all sorts of people throwing statistics out, but they don't realize there's sometimes different variables involved, different circumstances. But you always heard the thing like, if you missed, got out of the market on the worst days, and you in the best days always followed, and you missed the 10 best days in the last so many years, you would have only made 90%, but if you stayed in, you would have made some unbelievable percent. You know?
It depends what your time horizon is, Richard. Yeah. You know that. You listen to Talking Heads on TV. They're not doing day trading. They're doing minute trading. So, you know, they change. Yeah. You gotta be careful what you hear.
You never know. You know, you hear them say get in, and then they're out already. So you don't know.
Right.
But and it's like Willard said last week, it's all on your sleep level. Can you sleep with this stuff?
That's first thing, absolutely.
Yeah. And all sorts of things are kind of interesting because, like, the second up and down Wall Street column, they said savings bonds are a secret weapon for small investors. You know, so if you were going to put your money in savings bonds, you know, they double, you know, they double it at the end, okay? So the total return would be 2.something%, okay, that you would get. You have to keep it 20 years, but for people who are young or something, or people who want to have a portion, they could do that. And they mentioned that even a better bet's and I didn't even know there were these things, these inflation-related savings bonds or something, inflation
like TIPS bonds.
Yeah, but they're savings bonds, right? Yeah, and
Called I bonds.
Yeah, oh, okay.
And the I is for
inflation.
Interest.
Giddy up, interest. Way to go, Richard. Good play along with that. Make Pete feel good that he knew the answer. That's
but right. Anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But if you did the TIPS, okay, you don't have to hold them 20 years.
Right.
And just if you do sell them in less than, I forget what it is, 5 years or something like that, they take back 3 months' interest. So there you go. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. All I know is I bought gold miner mutual funds because I didn't want to buy the actual in 2008-09 because there had to be inflation. And now gold went up. I didn't sell. Now gold is up again, but the miners are not terrible.
Yeah.
And they're up 4 or 5%. I'm like, oh, God, what can I do? Thank God we didn't buy a lot.
Well, you always hedge your bets and you buy a little of each. You know, buy some gold and buy, you should know.
I didn't do that.
You should know better.
Yeah, I should know a lot of things.
Right.
Excuse me, I have to put some sanitizer on my hand. I touch a paperclip here in the office.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I was on stock charts and I looked at the long range or long term to get a bullish price objective on TLT. It says almost 235. Now I know you say take that with a grain of salt, but I guess that assumes the market's still going down and interest rates going down, right?
Well,
you got to look at the action over the last month.
Don't forget the target has no relationship to fundamentals.
So FinFiz doesn't give a target on it.
Yeah, but it depends on, you know, the method comes up with a target, you know. Is it reasonable? That's one of the things I'll always look at.
Yeah.
You know, so, does it somewhat make sense? If not, it wouldn't pay that much attention to
it. So the 52-week range on FinViz has a high of 159.70. It closed at 166.77.
Yeah, and what's the target they said?
There isn't one.
Well, he said on
stock
charts.
Oh, he said 234?
235. Yeah, 234, 235.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you're saying it has nothing to do with zero interest rates. It all has to do with activity, recent activity, right?
No, it has to do with the charting method. You know, there's all sorts of charting methods that they have ways of coming up with a target, and the target's just based on price action. which may, at most times, it may have something to do with fundamentals, and other times, you know, at times it doesn't, you know.
This is our age-old argument. Of course the action has to do with fundamentals.
At times. I'm saying at certain times it doesn't. Because at certain times, for example.
Well, we agree to disagree.
For example, with the dot-com bust, were those prices anything to do with fundamentals?
I was in high school. I don't know.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay. There are times in the market where it disengages.
You use
totally.
Everything. Right. Yeah, but this is, look at the gap up from the previous high to where it is. I mean, there was a huge gap up based on, I don't know, what I can't, it's hard for me to tell on the chart exactly what date we're looking at here, but it might have been just Friday's
action. February 1st.
I'm sorry?
Somewhere around early February.
Yeah, that's when it started, but there's another gap up here over on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it almost hit 170.
Oh,
So, you know, I don't know where you got in or whatever, but, you know, you watch the action, and I think it's the 18th of March. Is the Fed meeting? I'd have to look it up. I know the 15th is a debate.
I think it's what? I don't know. I forgot
I'll find
what
out.
It is.
But I mean, that you know, watch interest rates heading into that meeting because there's obviously going to be a you know, a change of some type.
Right. And you know, and back on fundamentals.
Go ahead.
You know, what really happens is that, you know, right now you can see a lot of people that say the market for a long time has been disengaged from fundamentals. Even Barron said that profits have not gone up for 5 years, all right?
March 17th and 18th, the 18th I'll make the decision.
But corporate profits haven't risen for 5 years, all right? And
well, how do you measure corporate
profits?
Well,
I don't know, but I'm just saying they're saying—
Are you saying— Profits.
I don't know
risen.
What they're saying. Okay. I'm just saying they're saying that.
That's what they're talking about yesterday.
Were
though.
They? Yeah.
They were talking about and have been talking about there will not be any earnings increase, but people take it as though there will not be any earnings of these companies. Mm-hmm. Earnings increase. It's a big difference between earnings.
Well, that's true. But
so I think this market's well oversold, but I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much.
Are you sorry? Are you sorry you called them?
No, I couldn't wait to call you all. Right. Long. I wish you had a Wednesday show.
Right.
Don't say that. We'll be doing it remotely from the office.
Years and years ago, we used to do a middle of the week show. Believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it was Tuesday, wasn't it, David?
Yeah, I forgot what day it was, but you know, there was a time we did do it for a while. Yeah.
I do remember. One more I'd like to give you before you give me the boot, if you could. VWEHX. Victor, Walter, Edward, Henry, X-ray.
It's a Vanguard fund. I lost you after V. VX. Go ahead, VX.
VW. Victor, Walter, Edward, Henry, X-ray.
You're looking it up right now?
Or not. Got to go to stock charts.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right.
It's your fault.
Or go to Morningstar. VWEHX. Probably wrong.
Oh, what is it?
It's a Vanguard fund.
Yeah,
Vanguard.
I know it's a
high yield corporate.
Yeah. It has a 5.25% yield, and it's been acting fairly well up until Friday.
Well, that's because what I said. If you listen to my little diatribe in the beginning, you go to the Stone and McCarthy, read about the high yield. That's probably why.
Well, if you want to look at possible fundamentals, too, is that some people are saying that if this, you know, coronavirus starts impacting some businesses that are not in great position to begin with, that a lot of that corporate debt, for example, in high yield, a lot of the high yield bonds are banks, they're energy.
Exactly.
Right.
And airlines.
Mm-hmm. So
does airline high yield debt bubble ring a bell? 1987? Michael Milken?
Yeah. So, not to frighten you with it, but probably you should look within the high yield fund, see what they're invested in.
Right. Well,
What was the symbol on that thing again? VW
Victor, Walter, Edward Henry X-ray.
Now, you're doing a good job. You're going to get us through half of the show.
Well, the other callers are going to hate me, but...
No, they're not, because they're not calling.
They're steaming. They're steaming somewhere.
Well, I've had this for a few months. Maybe I'm wondering, it might be safer to sell this and buy TLT some more.
That's interesting. I would just keep an eye on it, you know, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, because it's been acting good and giving me a little bit of a dip.
Yeah, but like I say, I would look inside of it, see which industries they're heavily in, and you can probably make a better decision based on what they're in, really.
Like if it was heavy oil and gas and airline, it may be kind of dangerous.
Exactly. You know, no question. Yeah. I mean, you saw some... No-name airline, I guess, you know, went bankrupt or in Europe, you know. It's different here, obviously, but you know, and then with the airlines here, they are benefiting from the decline in oil prices, jet fuel prices, you know. So
yeah, I'm not able to get in with the site I'm on to look inside. I'll try and do it while you guys are chit-chatting, but just to. Yeah,
well, if you look at it, well, I guess you don't.
I'm just trying to get the breakdown on top 10 and all that other stuff. So,
well, it closed at what, 584?
584.
And the 200 days at 578. So, you know, I would certainly reevaluate a bit if it did drop under 578, you know.
Okay.
And then, you know, and if you've checked in the meantime, you know, verifying what they're in, you can make a decision.
Okay. Very good. I appreciate that.
Okay.
And
it guarantees you nothing, but...
but no, I know that.
Do your own research.
Right.
Yeah, there's quite a... Okay, look, I couldn't wait all week to talk to you guys, and I just thank you for keeping the show going, and you guys are great. Thanks for helping me. Appreciate
the call. Right. Have a good weekend.
We'll try and work on the other one.
Okay, right now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. As you can tell, phone lines are wide open, so give us a call. Also, you could go to the chat box if you don't want to call us at our website, sapperston.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab that says Chat and Archives, and just go down to the bottom of the page, and there's a place to type in a question symbol. And if you put in the symbol, let us know what you're looking to do with it.
So the top 10 holdings of their fund, Vanguard High Yield, are Sprint. Of course, I went to another. Here we go. Sprint Corporation, 1.1%. That's at U.S. Treasury notes, U.S. Treasury notes, U.S. Treasury notes, U.S. Treasury notes. 1, 2, 3. That's about 4%. Caesars Resort, a little bit affected by. Traveling, that's less than 1%. Credit Suisse, brokerage firm, 70 basis points. Altice France, that's I think the phone company in France, 63 basis points. Springleaf Finance, never heard of them, 63 basis points. And Dish, 61 basis points.
Those are the top 10 holdings?
Those are the top
holdings.
And that's
a very small total percentage. It's interesting.
Yeah, they're spread out, it seems. Yeah. Again,
well diversified. So, but take a look, you know, in more detail.
But those are the things you should look at. So, 75% bonds, 19% foreign, 5/10 convertible, 5/10 preferred, about 5% in cash.
It's interesting. Yeah, so they're well diversified, that's for sure. So, yeah, so once again, right now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. Also, looking at the market, looked like it was really going to tank totally. It was Friday at one point. What was it down, 900 points or something at one point? Mm-hmm. Last hour, it rallied 700 points or so. You know.
I told you, I was watching, and I'm like, it was, I can't remember who was on. He talks about the market, not the old S&P guy, but the gentleman that's always talking, silver-haired, been around forever, always talks from the floor. I can't remember his name now.
Santelli.
No, that's a bond guy.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
So I'm watching him talk. It was like 3:03. I was at home. I wasn't feeling well. I was in the office. I'm watching, and I'm looking at the Dow boom, 5 points, 5 points, five, getting stronger, stronger, stronger. I go, holy cow. Because McClellan tweeted out something during the day saying that the strongest sign in this type of market is when the market starts down and closes up, especially on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting, but yeah, that's didn't happen.
Interesting. But, you know, we were talking about why it happened, and there we're talking about the Fed governors.
They were at a conference.
At
they were
a
both
conference,
talking, the New York Fed.
Yeah. And they were talking, I don't know, was it the possibility the Fed might buy securities or something?
You mentioned that. I didn't
hear
that.
Yeah, that's what I heard. It was something like that. And I don't know what the securities meant. I assume they're talking about, like, quantitative easing again or something, or buying bonds.
QE
I don't know.
Light.
But never assume. But anyway, but it was their comments, all right, is what drove the market up in the last hour. So it'll be interesting to see if it'll be like last week, same thing happened, right? You had the big rally at the last 15 minutes of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then Monday was a big day up.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens this Monday.
It will.
Yep. So right now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. Or go to the chat box at saperstein.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab that says Chat and Archives. And click on, oh, you don't have to. You go right to the bottom of the page. And there's a box there to type in a question, a symbol. If you type in a symbol, let us know what you're looking to do with it. Right now, we're going to take a quick 1 minute break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors every Saturday morning live from 10 to 11. Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctor Show is also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperstein Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, securities offered through Brighton Securities out of Rochester, New York. Member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. Give us a call. Phone lines are still wide open. I'm sure you're not out mowing the lawn yet, even though my lawn does seem to be growing a little bit. But anyway.
I saw, what do you call it, crocuses.
Did you really?
Those are flowers, I think.
Yeah. Well, that means this weekend with the sun out, everybody will be rushing to Lowe's and Home Depot to buy their plants, you know. So
to get Purell.
To get Purell. We're going to go to Art in New Jersey, who's been patiently waiting.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Good morning. Voice again. Nice I sent an early chat, AM chat to you guys, just giving you some.
We are armed and ready.
You're armed and ready. Okay.
Locked and loaded.
Peter, did you get my mailing?
I did.
Good. Okay.
Now, was that, you know, sending me an obituary? Is that?
With your name, yeah. It was not anything to wish for. I'll tell you.
No. Well, you know what the fascinating part about that was? They mentioned the person who died, their mother and father.
Right.
And the mother was Evelyn. That was my mother's name.
Oh, my God. If I knew that, I would have thought you were also a musician.
In a way, sometimes I wish I was.
Yes, yeah. Now, tonight on the repeat of the show, since we're turning the clock ahead at 2 a.m., do you think it'll still run at midnight, possibly?
Yes. Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
yeah. It'll be still, no question.
Yeah. I was thanks to Richard from Rochester, because that Vanguard high yield, I'm a big holder of that, so that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
The two things I'm interested in, one is American Airlines. I never fly anymore, but I'm interested in looking at that, and because of the loss of the price down to $15.97, down $3.09, and its 52-week high is about $35. So it was one of the things that was charted in the Barrens, as well as the Royal Caribbean, which I want to ask about next.
Well, in looking at all the airlines, it is going to. It depends on your strategy. You know, like you're a long-term holder, right?
Yes, for most things. But I do jump in and out on certain things
right.
if I can take a loss.
But you know, I was going to say, anybody looking at the airlines as you know a long term investment could be nibbling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, I don't see a problem with that in terms. Don't expect, you know, an immediate thing, and you may have to buy a lot lower. Who knows? You know.
Sure.
But it is an opportune time for you know companies like this to, you know, who knows? Maybe it's like 2007, 2008. American Airlines goes down to a dollar. I don't know. You know.
Right.
But basically,
$15.97.
Yeah.
I noticed that kept out of the news. Any more information about the Boeing and the 737 MAX that has gone back into the background now. There's not much news about that anymore.
No, matter of fact, there was news that they said they may be coming closer to approving them going back in operation. You know,
believe that if it was from the FAA.
From the FAA.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
It was from the FAA, but
that's good.
But matter of fact, they're gonna. I think they said soon or next week or whatever, the pilots were going to begin testing, you know.
Oh, okay.
And they said everything they've seen so far looks good, and now they just have to go through the testing and so forth. But, you know, American Airlines has had a problem. Who did they merge with? I forgot whoever it was.
We did this before.
Yeah, they merged with another airline, whatever it was. And
it was New York Air? Or?
No, it wasn't New York Air.
New York Airlines.
I forgot who it was, but whoever it was, they said they've still been having problems.
Was it U.S. Air?
Yeah, U.S. Air.
Yeah,
there
US
you go.
Air,
yeah.
Right.
And they said they've still been having problems integrating that whole thing, you know, after all this time. So, you know, certainly, you know, a more interesting play might be Delta,
right.
You know, who seems to be in a good position. But, you know, I probably would look, you know, for people who have the patience and can stand a little drawdown. It's not going to panic them. You know, you could buy a little at a time, you know, and figure out, hey, if it goes down 20% or 25%, I'll buy a little more or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second item, that Royal Caribbean, I have a second interest in it because I have a cruise schedule for the end of July on the Celebrity Summit. Celebrity is owned by Royal Caribbean. Now, that price is more of a bottom fisher, $6,501 down $1,540. Its high has been $135 in January, and its 200-day average is about $114.
Didn't we talk last week with somebody?
I wasn't on the show.
Oh, yeah, you weren't there. You didn't listen? What's wrong with you?
No, I was attending a baptism of my granddaughter.
Oh, okay.
Little more important thing to do.
I'm looking at my list here. No, nobody talked about Royal Caribbean or the cruises last week.
Well, I mean, it's going to be the same thing with those, cruise lines. They're not going to be out of business, and you probably have to look at the financials, make sure they're not heavily in debt, and they're going to run into difficulties.
Yeah, what's the symbol on that?
RCL.
Okay.
And The ships that have been quarantined seem to be the Princess Line right now, which I don't know if Carnival owns them or not. But
yeah, but, you know, this is all going to be news related. Once again, I mean, the cruise lines are going to be a great opportunity at some point. And if people want to do that kind of plan, I'm going to buy 25%. And if it drops 20-25%, I'm going to buy another quarter, you know, and so
That's
forth.
Right.
Yeah.
With no fees, commission fees, it's easy to do, right?
So if that's what you want to do and you don't mind further news coming out, and certainly one of the good signs would be for any of them, if bad news keeps coming out and they won't go down anymore, that's kind of telling you, you know, most people who wanted to sell already sold, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So well, I don't think it's going to sink, so.
Oh,
that's a good term, especially with me on it.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
But you know, watch for those signs that if continuing bad news comes out on cruise lines and the stocks won't go down, that's giving you a hint that the sellers might be essentially sold out.
Yeah, I bought the insurance, so if it's canceled, I get back, I think, about 85%.
Mm-hmm.
If I cancel. Now, if the ship cancels, I think I'll get 100% back. You know, if they don't go.
Oh, I'm sure that's true, yeah. But I would think that's true.
Yeah, they give you a ride on the dinghy.
Oh, yeah. I'll get in one of the lifeboats, you know,
there you
pull along next to me. Yeah. So anyway, it's a great show as normal, and I'll listen to it later.
Okay. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Okay, so that was our last caller on the line, wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. Or you could use the chat box at the website, sapriston.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab that says Chat and Archives, and go to the bottom of the page. There's a little place for you to type in a question or a symbol. If you type in a symbol, let us know what you're looking to do with it.
I'm still trying to find this guy.
Who are you
reports.
Trying to find?
I'm on the site. It's got all the other floor people. Somebody was nice enough and said Art Cashin, but he always interviews Art Cashin.
I can see his head, his face in my...
Silver-haired guy, tall gentleman. His father was a CPA, I remember hearing. He's been on for 20, 30 years.
That's the trivia question of the day. Somebody call us... Tell us who it is.
Gosh.
Right now, we're going to go to Tom. Good morning.
How are you doing?
Okay.
Good. Good morning.
Okay. Appreciate all the great information you've given over the last couple of years.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate you telling us that. Yeah.
Okay. My stock is, you know, one of these that's probably coronavirus related, but I hope it's more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Gilead, G-A-L-D.
Mm-hmm.
G-I-L-D.
Right.
And yeah, obviously, you probably know it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's
like most stocks, it's been whipped around. That's just the climate we're in.
Well, about ripped around. Looks like it's acted pretty well. It was up $4 on Friday.
They're a potential 80-22 company coming up with a vaccine.
Right. But they have others.
They have other things, but most of the news had been negative.
Zacks has them rated as a strong sell.
Yeah.
So I just wondered what your figure showed on that.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to see a whipped up stock, look at Exxon. That's a whipped up stock.
Well, of course.
That was mentioned in Barron's.
Oils are in trouble. Are in trouble.
Some are, some aren't.
Oil is a new tobacco, as Jim Cramer says.
No, I mean, they're all going down, but.
But the ones that are highly leveraged are probably going to be gone.
Well, they're saying with Exxon, the kind of problem with it is that they've been in a big program to increase production, and I guess they're kind of leveraged because of trying to do that. They've committed to their dividend, so they may have to keep borrowing to pay it. So all that stuff. But anyway.
Yeah, and the CEOs for Chevron and Exxon were on CNBC this week. And both of them made that claim for having green energy, but you know how long that's going to take them.
Oh, right.
I mean, good Lord, that's a project.
No question. We're not going to shut the oil off tomorrow. That's for sure.
That's right.
Although a bunch of.
So anyway, I own the option at 65.5.
Oh, you got an option in it. Yeah.
But it expires Friday. Well, I own the stock as well. But expires Friday, and you kind of get nervous around this time when expiration's coming and you've made something on it. And I just wanted to know what, like I said, the point figure showed or any advice you had on it.
Well, one thing, that's tough in this environment with the volatility, option premiums being inflated. You could be right with the stock continuing to go up a little higher, but the... You know the decay in the premiums, and if they've been way out of bounds,
My instinct is to get out on Monday.
In other words, you don't have a covered call, or you just have a regular call on it?
I have a straight call.
Straight call, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, if volatility starts dropping and you start seeing, you'd see a faster decay is what I'm trying to say. So,
right, I understand.
Yeah. So, your intuition or inclination might be correct.
Okay. And the other one I got a little while ago, it's BXMX. B as in boy, X as in X-ray. M as in Mary, X as in X-ray.
All right, it's going to be BXMX, okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's a call right closed-end fund.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see it there?
Yeah, let me call it up. Should come up. BXMX.
It's a Nuveen. Close at 1237?
Yeah, it's...
That's correct.
Yeah. I mean, basically, it's been going no place in particular.
That's right.
Yeah, for years.
That's right.
Right.
Do you... What kind of level of investment do you consider that?
What do you mean?
In terms of being in your portfolio,
it's something that you put in there to be very conservative.
Okay, that's what I want because I am retired.
Right, and a lot of people, you know, say with a buy right, you know, they try to get a certain small, reasonable percentage every year by doing the buy rights. You know,
7.5% dividend.
Yeah, I did not know anything about them. I did some research and
good, glad to hear that. Yeah,
nobody seems to know what this is, but.
Oh, no, they should. These are, you know, it's a common strategy.
Well, I mean people out of the financial market.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about regular.
Oh, okay. People. Yeah, that's why it's considered conservative because of, you know, the way they, you know, handle their options and everything, you know, so. And they're buying covered calls.
I appreciate the advice and have a beautiful weekend.
Okay, you
Thank
too.
You.
Take care.
Okay,
you too.
Bye-bye.
Bob Pisani.
Bob Pisani, there you go. No, you're right.
I saw a couple of callers and chat boxes. Yeah. But I went through the Google, all the personalities. Right. He wasn't in there.
Who's up
Something
next
against
here.
Italians. Ed Namhurst is up next.
Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm interested in Cypress Semiconductor.
Okay.
It's fallen like a rock the last 2 days, and I own some shares.
Was there any news on it at all? Or?
Well, there seems to be some doubt about the merger.
Oh, okay.
It's been in the works for about a year.
Yeah, CY is a symbol. Closed at, 1637.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you, that'd have been nice and high. Hit, 23, somewhere in that area?
Yeah, I sold half at 23.
Well, very good.
Yeah. But now I'm worried about the other half.
Well, there's shareholder, there's...
probably lawsuits,
yeah,
I would
guess.
Yeah,
there's all kinds of lawsuits,
I mean, it's under the 200-day, it's under the 50-day. So obviously it's not in a very good position.
Apparently somebody else came in and is attempting to buy somebody else that they were trying to buy?
Oh, is that what it was?
No.
Yeah. No,
they were being acquired.
Hmm.
By a German company.
Apparently, there's a possibility it's going to be blocked. It says Cypress Semiconductor plunges as Trump weighs blocking Infineon's $8.7 billion bid.
Ah, okay.
It was at 101.
So apparently, that was looked upon very favorably. And, you know, so I would say if you wanted to hold it, if it dropped under, say, 15, where to close at?
1637.
Yeah, somewhere under 15, you might want to, you know, reevaluate it at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good thing you sold half.
Yeah.
Most people don't do that, and they live to regret it. Of course, they do live to regret it when they sell half and it keeps going up, but you can't win, right?
Well, I didn't think it would go up anymore.
Right. You were right. The
merger was...
You
estimated.
Just you almost sold the exact top. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, if it drops under 15, take a look again, see whether you want to stay there. You know.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care. Okay, who's up next there?
We have Jack in Lockport.
Jack.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Well, I finally I sold my Tesla. usually I don't panic, but I had it, made a real nice profit, and then a couple weeks ago, Monday went down, Tuesday went down, Wednesday went down,
right.
And I just couldn't take it. So Friday morning, a week ago, I sold it. After I sold it, it went up.
Of course, right?
and then, I don't know. I still made a nice profit on it. I did well, but I only got like about 20% of what I could have had if I'd sold it earlier, but I'm not complaining. At least I made some nice money. But
that's right.
Yeah, but the reason I'm calling.
You can complain to us if you like.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
Even though I said sell it at 900. But
yeah,
that's okay.
I know you. You did. You did. And it was down at
Blind
the time.
Acorn finds you, a squirrel once in a while. So.
Yeah, you asked me why did I sell it at 9, and but then it went back up to 9, and I still didn't sell it. But right. So
next time. And okay. Then it'll go to 1,200.
So. Well, there's still time to buy again.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, there's, and I will.
Yes, sir.
What caught my eye recently was Magellan Midstream. Mary Paul. It's a has the longest system of pipelines for refined products in the country, and most of their revenue is fee based. They have good financials, solid financials. I just wonder what you think of the company.
It closed at 52.14. It's got a 7.9 yield. I haven't had much luck with these pipeline companies.
Yeah, it looks terrible on the chart,
okay.
To say the least. But it depends. You know, I was thinking about this coming in today. You know, this is a great environment for those people that just want to collect dividends from companies that can continue to pay dividends
and even raise. Right.
And, you know, there are people that just buy dividend stocks and they don't care where they go, you know.
Yeah, that's me in somewhat.
Right.
And it's gone up. It was like 7% about a month ago and about 7.9%, well, of course, because everything's down. But like I said, it has a solid balance sheet, and you know, and it seems to be pretty good shape as far as, you know.
The debt and everything.
Right,
and,
right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So, I mean, that's all I can say about these when they look terrible on the chart. If they have a good dividend, and like I say, there's great opportunities out there now with a lot of stocks with good dividends that are good companies, you know. So
yeah, because I tell you, even the banks, Bank on Buffalo is paying a real nice dividend, 1.75%, 2%. And I had an estate account in there, and I just got a call this past week. They've gone from 1.75% to 1% because of the Fed cuts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did they? Okay. Yeah,
they
I didn't know that.
They can't keep it up anymore. So, yeah. So,
well, you know what, it gets me, though? The credit card companies are not lowering
their
rates.
You're right. That's you know, so true.
I mean, that is ridiculous. And I think, I forgot, a lot of them, I think, are based on the prime rate. And has anybody noticed that the prime rate has not come down?
Yeah, and some of them are tied to LIBOR and all that stuff.
Yeah, but they should have been coming down at the time, you know. So,
well, they
but
take, the ones they that, take a little longer
the ones
to
that
lower
are
your rate.
Yeah, but see, you know what the funny part about the prime rate is? The only one that lowers the prime rates is the banks.
Right.
And therefore, if they have credit cards, why would they lower the prime rate? But anyway,
yeah, so
I digress.
But anyway, I'll be in touch with you soon, both of you, and especially David, and maybe we can get together. And thank you for your advice today.
It's almost summer.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Who's up next here anyway?
Nobody.
So went away. Okay, so you got the chat box.
We do. Somebody's looking for BCE, an entry price to buy.
Bell Canada, really? Is that Bell Canada?
I think it is. I don't think so. No, well, it might be.
It might
it's
be.
It's called BCE.
Yeah, BCE. I think it used to be. See, what's that? It's in telephone, yeah. Bell Canada. Yeah, the old Bell. Yeah, I mean, the dividend is what on this right now? It's can't quite see.
5.4%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, once again, see, you don't know if this is a person who's just happy getting his dividend, and so what? You know, Bell Canada is not going to go out of business, and unless you are a kind of person who's going to panic if the stock went down. But if you're the kind of long-term holder that says, you know, I don't care where the stock goes, and the chart doesn't look bad. You know, it's had resistance up near the 50 area for a while. If it ever broke above that,
yeah, it's looking for an entry point to buy.
Well, if you look at the 200-day, it's 47.09. Where to close at?
46.53.
Yeah. And if you look at the 50-day, it's at 47. So you want to see this stock go above 47, which would be very positive. And right now, the support for the stock is in the 44-45 area. Mm-hmm. So you can determine, do you want to wait for it to prove itself and go above the 47 level, or do you want to buy a little, and then if it comes back down to the 44-45, buy
especially
a little
in
bit
these
more.
Volatile markets.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to go 100% unless you're just so sure.
So you could buy a little now or wait until it goes above 47, buy a little. And if it did come back to 44, 45, you could add to it.
Right. We also have somebody asking about Goodyear Tire GT, closed at $8.70. Pete says they own it, bought more on Thursday, 7.3% dividend, safety with three question marks.
Well, that's a good question.
And I think the...
Do you think that dividend's well covered?
Well, you got to look into it.
Stock looks sick as anything.
It's one of the... I think it's one of the ones that has a tremendous amount of high-yield bonds, if my memory serves me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you... That's what I would be looking at. And then, you know, the chart looks atrocious.
Well, the chart is atrosive, no question about that.
So I would rather
whether the dividend's safe or not is another question. We'd have to do some research in that. So if we remember, and boy, I can't remember anything from 5 minutes ago, but if we remember, we'll look it up and check on, how to safety. Matter of fact, I'll try to find the site that can tell you that, and I don't
you
know.
You are so helpful,
right,
Peter.
Oh, unbelievable. On the weekends, I am.
No, you're helpful during the week.
Right.
I remember one time.
One time. But anyway, yeah, we'll, or David will look at it. I think there are sites out there that can tell you, how safe the dividend is,
sure.
And if you have a chance, maybe you can Google that over the weekend.
Right.
Certainly from the chart, it looks horrendous. But, if that dividend is safe and we should check the record of, have they cut dividends before in the past and that type of thing?
I have my marker.
Yep.
I am.
You're going to mark that?
Doesn't mean I'll remember to look at it, but I'm.
I would look in the past and see, too, have they cut their dividends before? Are they another company like an Exxon who have been committed no matter what?
Yeah, I don't know if they were bought by money management firm or something like that, or private equity. I can't remember.
Okay.
I never really owned it, so I don't know.
Okay, so we'll look into that. Is that about it right now?
That's all she wrote.
That's it. So anyway.
Can I say that?
You can say anyway.
Can I say that's all
my
she
favorite
wrote?
Word.
Yeah. I know. Is it?
But, take a look. It's been very interesting with all the sectors this year. All of the S&P sectors right now are negative, not surprisingly.
What a shock.
And I'm sure, that is.
What was the worst performer?
What, the worst performer? Guess.
Energy.
You got it.
Yep.
Down 29% for the year.
Guess who doesn't buy energy?
Yep.
This guy.
The strongest sector that's still positive, the only sector, is the utilities, up 3.9% for the year. Second strongest sector looks like semiconductors that are still just flat for the year. What does that say, 0.7 or 6.7?
Minus 6.7.
Well, forget semiconductors. Get new glasses. That's what I need. But anyway. But, real estate's in second position, only down 1.7%.
That's because of interest rates.
Yep. And believe it or not, the next is consumer staples, down 2.3%. And what the heck happened to the home builders anyway? Did they disappear? Home builders are now down 5. They got hit for some reason.
Yeah.
But
it's that type of market, Pete.
But what's been coming on is healthcare. Even though they're down 4.6, they're less down than the market.
Yeah.
So healthcare could be an interesting area to look at, as they have been lagging for quite a while. So I would take a look at those sectors, and those that are not doing as bad as the market. Which right now, believe it or not, are still technology and the ones I mentioned, including nobody.
Yeah, how about any clues for Monday? What do you think?
Don't know.
You think it might be like last week, an up day?
It's a possibility. Depends on what kind of news hits over the weekend. And
I know Cramer always says he likes to see a big down opening and close up.
But Cramer, I think he's been a little hypocritical. He was frightened to death of the virus. Now he's not frightened about it, and telling people, you can take your opportunity. Yeah, there are.
Well, personally, I think he's frightened.
Yeah.
I think as an investment, I think he's trying not to have people scared.
Not to have people scared, Anyway, we're at the end of the show. Keep a little powder dry. Do your own research.
Turn your clocks back tonight.
Turn your clocks back, and we'll be back next week.